This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Freedom is threatened. Where individual rights are eroding. One man stands poised to counteract the rise of tyranny by rekindling the sacred fire of liberty. That man is Jonathan E. Ward.
Liberty was the patriotic purpose of our written constitution.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
The ultimate solution is not in the hands of the government.
Give me liberty or give me death.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the FDA Dragon Slayer.
Cranking up the sacred fire of liberty here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's almost October, Jonathan. You know what that means. Party time.
Oh, Robert, and what a party we are planning, Robert. And it's going to be made into a spectacular extraterrestrial event due to the fact that you'll be there wearing a cone head and emceeing it, Robert. What a privilege that is for us.
I've got so many events where I get to be silly. I just don't know what to do. I'm beside myself at this point. To play an alien? Well, maybe some people think I'm already there, so we're going to have a great time. And Cheryl Chumley might be joining us as well, or is that the rumor, Cheryl?
I hope to. I'm just finalizing some travel plans, and as long as there's no conflict, I'm definitely coming. And
totally
I'll be bringing
cool.
my family as well.
Awesome. Fabulous. We'll have the whole family together, and I'm just looking forward to that. We should raffle off tickets to this event. This is going to be the biggest event of all of Halloween.
Oh, it's a big deal, and what I really like about it is that I'm going to be able to see you for the first time in a true fashion statement for the 21st century, Robert Scott Bell as a conehead. I can't wait to see that, Robert.
Yes, I've been called an egghead, but now it's the first time I'll be a conehead. And
there you go.
Launching it with Dan Aykroyd and who else played, Jane Curtin. You know, we'll see what we can do to live up to those standards.
Well, there might be a few coneheads. There might be a few coneheads there, and if that's the case, you'll have to play a game of ring toss with them.
Oh, dear. That's going to be extra special. I don't know if we can do a six-pack of consumables because I don't drink anymore. But we'll see what happens. So as we start to get the party started this week, we just had the first debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And my good friend John Rappaport wrote about it and said, Lester Holt was actually the winner. I mean, that guy was the one who was debating himself and interrupting and things like that. This Washington Times article, I think, says he got an F, and it was kind of a draw, and no one's going to change any ideas or minds. Jonathan, what do you think?
Well, I agree with that. I think that there were missed opportunities for Donald Trump. I think that he could have brought up, particularly when they were talking about the cybersecurity issue, how Hillary Clinton is unique among secretaries of state for having taken the entire content of email correspondence to the Secretary of State's office and put it on an unsecure private server for her own convenience at the great risk of national security. But that didn't come up, and that's unfortunate. However, Trump has said that he's going to hit her hard next time, and I suspect that that, as well as another missed opportunity to talk about the Clinton Foundation and the pay-for-play scandal, hopefully all of that will come to pass. However, the big thing people don't talk about, because it didn't happen, is I didn't see Donald Trump make any major gaffe of any sort. And I also saw him skillfully parry a lot of the attacks, as well as bring home a number of issues that distinguish himself as a person who's rightfully characterized as conservative. I think that he defended himself as well as he could, and I think he did a decent job. I agree with the proposition that this is likely to have really no real material effect long term on the percentages of relative popular support, but I must say that I do think that the enthusiasm gap for Hillary is a real threat. I think that she is losing that battle. She's not capable of inspiring her base. She's not capable of drawing others to her cause. I think really the momentum still remains in squarely in Trump's favor as far as enthusiastic support goes.
Cheryl Chumley, you saw it too as well, and I guess perspectives in order from your eyeball, so to speak.
I did. I watched the whole thing except maybe the last 2 minutes, and to be honest, if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be a little bit boring. I actually thought the lead up to it was this, it was going to be this huge event with back and forth, aggressive attacks and, you know, going on the defense on both sides. And what it amounted to was more a diplomatic, debate where there weren't the issues that I cared about even brought up. You know, immigration wasn't brought up. National security wasn't brought up so much, except maybe they talked a little bit about cyber attacks, cyber security, and so forth. And I actually read a lighthearted summary assessment of the debate where the writer just spoke of if Trump's main intent with the debate was to look less crazy, mission accomplished. And really there's kind of a nugget of truth in that, because Trump has basically hit the whole campaign trail as being this circus act. And so here he is in his first big presidential debate, face off against Hillary Clinton, and he does come off looking a lot better than what people paint him as over the last few months. So in that respect, I think that's a win for him.
Yeah, one of the funniest comments I heard, you know, trying to armchair quarterback or something after the fact, and you look at, she was trying to hit him on the tax return issue. You know, I want them to say it's none of your business, but, you know, that's their whole issue. How much taxes you paid and how you probably didn't pay any. And Trump said, that's because I'm smart. Something along those lines. Because I remember the Supreme Court even ruling that you're not under the obligation to pay as much as possible. You're under the obligation, if you feel so, to pay as little as possible. And somebody said, you know, he should have just said, you know what, Hillary, I emailed them to you. Why don't you have them?
Well, he did make that little quip that I think was the best line of the evening, that he would release his tax returns when Hillary released her 33,000 emails that she had scrubbed. But I wanted more of that. I wanted to see more of the hardcore Trump, you know, being a little bit more aggressive and definitely bringing up immigration. That's the biggest issue.
Jonathan, I like the fact that toward the end he brought up Janet Yellen, the Fed, and the bubble economy. Although I hadn't heard anybody talk about that since Ron Paul, or maybe even Rand Paul, mentioning it. So it was kind of like in a hall. I don't know if people still understand that issue yet.
Well, that was a very fortunate thing to hear him bring that up, and to hear that it, you know, that was gratuitous on his part. So it's a matter of concern to him. That's quite nice. I agree with Cheryl's characterization of it, that it really ended up being a event that was more remarkable because of what Trump did not do that was expected by the other side, that he would make a major faux pas. I think the glee expressed by Hillary Clinton is kind of superficial here, because really, I think more than anything else, she established herself trying to be strong and to be on the attack as a bit more like a street fighter. She was more like Trump than Trump was like Trump, if I may use that term. The Trump of the Republican debates was more analogous to the way Hillary Clinton played this debate. And I think that's to her long-term disadvantage, because what it signals to someone like Kellyanne Conway is that Trump can be steered to be more aggressive, because Hillary Clinton is not appearing to be oppressed or victimized or discriminated against because of her gender. She rather is a champion by appearance for her position, and so is not in any way subject to abuse. You wouldn't expect Hillary Clinton to be pushed around, in other words. Mm-hmm. So I do think that Trump can take it directly to her without the risk of alienating women. I do think he must be careful to avoid any stupid statement, but I think he can go after her directly on the emails, directly on the Clinton pay-for-play, directly on the dereliction of duty while the Benghazi attack took place, and hit her hard on that. And I think it will cause her to be on the defensive. That's one thing I didn't like about the debate, was that he appeared to be principally on the defensive, responding to her. That in part is due to the fact that Lester Holt, I thought, did a very poor job. The principal issues, particularly those related to the scandals for Hillary Clinton, were simply not even raised at all. And as Cheryl pointed out, a number of important issues didn't even make it into the discussion. So I really thought he did a poor job. I was not impressed at all by his questions.
No, clearly the way he framed it, the way he seemed to target Trump and never go back and ask secondary questions on Clinton, it, to me there was a clear bias there. Now, there's an article here, and I don't know if you've got a chance to review it, either of you, but Cheryl, on the gun control agreement. There's an article that says, surprising agreement between Trump and Clinton on gun control. Is this a true or an inflated statement? Have you seen this?
No, I didn't see the article, but, you know, that shocked me, actually. I was watching the debate. They were talking about the no-fly, no-buy type of deal, where if you're on the terrorist watch list, you're not allowed to purchase a weapon. That's something that Clinton has advocated for and other, you know, left-leaning politicians. But Trump kind of, and he slid this in quickly. He said, yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a good idea. And, you know, he's in agreement, in other words, where if you're on a terrorist list, you know, by the TSA, by the federal government, you're not going to be allowed to purchase a weapon. And the danger with that, of course, is that the government makes so many mistakes, and you can put mistakes in quotation marks, too, because maybe not all of them are. But, you know, the government can easily put you on a list, and next thing you know, you're not allowed to have your own Second Amendment rights any longer.
Yeah, that is it's a risk if he doesn't clarify that, because it's one thing if you've got some evidence, if you will, probable cause. But what we find with people being, you know, kind of put on the watch list, or they don't even know they're on it till they find out they're on it, and then how do they get themselves off of it, and how many mistakes are made? And so this could be a tool used by the left to basically say, you know what, we don't have to worry about gun control. We'll just say you're at risk for something. Name it. Of course, one of those things is psychiatric evaluation or treatment. And that sounds more like an Eastern Bloc Soviet era kind of technique. All right, folks, we've got a lot more broadcast healing to go. The Sacred Fire of Liberty is on. Jonathan E. Moore in the house, as well as Cheryl Chumley. We'll be back with more discussion on this and more after this.
Live around the world, the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell.
We have a great story from someone who's helped themselves to heal by using the botanical known as Carnivora. And we have a guest right now. Her name is Joni Nichols. This is quite a story.
Yes, it is. And, Robert, I was a mess. I had numerous infections. My hair was flung out all over the furniture. Mm-hmm. One of the scariest things was that my legs were swung up out of control. It came to a head. Within 24 hours, I had gone into a coma.
Holy tamale.
Mom and Dad decided to get me Carnivora as a six-week program. Within two weeks, Robert, the first thing I noticed was that I felt better waking up. Then I noticed that my hair wasn't all over the furniture. I'm, like, all excited.
And she credits all of it to her Carnivora protocol.
This is Richard Ostro, owner for Carnivora Research International. Call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735. Or visit carnivora.com, carnivora.com. Call now.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, There's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The United States of Empire, the passing of the mantle from the United Kingdom to the United States, is a book that claims that the United States is the empire of the world. Our first president, George Washington, had warned us about being entangled in foreign wars, but by the 1900s that seemed like an antiquated idea. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left the United Kingdom broke and broken. In both wars, it needed its former colony and protege, the U.S., to save the empire. We did so, recoiled from responsibilities after the First World War, accepted them after the Second. The Cold War solidified our position. Did the American people ever vote on the question? For whom do we fight? The First World War is the beginning of the American Empire. The United States of Empire by James Dunn, available at Amazon Books.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Rocking the health world to the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour. Jonathan E. Moore and Cheryl Chumley is here. Cheryl's got a new article that just came out, interesting perspective here about, what was it, an imam was interviewed, is this up in Canada this happened, about Islam and democracy?
Yes, he was in Canada, and he was basically telling Muslims in Canada to double down and stick to Islamic law, reject the rules of the state, reject all things secular, and work together to spread Islam throughout the communities that they live in. And, you know, that's not so shocking. What was more shocking was that he was so open about the statement, his belief that Islam and democracy, that's how he termed it, are contradictory, completely incompatible. And what's interesting is we don't often get somebody of, you know, Muslim faith being so open about that. A lot of people in the West have been saying that for years, and they're usually shot down by those on the left and by Muslim advocacy groups. But here we have a Muslim religious leader coming out and openly declaring, you know, Sharia and Islam ideology incompatible with more Western-type government.
Yeah, it was interesting. They even went into the article talking about the sovereign, who's the sovereign in a democracy. Of course, in Canada, I think the sovereign, isn't it still the queen? Aren't they still technically part of the crown?
I believe they are, but I think that's wholly symbolic. So,
yeah, interesting. And Jonathan, of course, you know the perspective on how they, you know, it's an interesting discussion to have, because there are Islamic states like in Indonesia where there's votes and other things, so it's not homogenous.
No, it's a theocracy, and as a theocracy, as a government that makes religion the law and has a codification of that, a canonical law in the form of the Sharia law, there is no deviation from that thought framework. You must be Islamic. You must adhere to the dictates of the Sharia law, whether you are a Muslim or not in their country. And the consequences for deviating from that are rather severe. They're death and dismemberment, beheading and maiming people. And so it is a regime that, when ensconced in law, is intolerant of dissent. The very definition of democracy and the very definition of a republic is that the minority may and must be protected as of right against the state, and that no religion may be established as a government religion because it's part of our freedom of conscience, which is defended by the law, the Bill of Rights, against a government establishment or a restriction on free exercise. That is where the rub is, and that's why even in the United States, in communities where the whole local government has been taken over by those who are dedicated to essentially a reestablishment of the Sharia law, are overturning or subverting the Constitution in those areas. They're subverting the state constitution, they're violating the federal constitution when they make dissent proscribable, either directly or indirectly, where they punish or ostracize those who are not willing to bend to the wishes of those who wish to establish a theocracy. So we have to be mindful of that. It's not that those who are of the Muslim faith ought not be able to practice their religion. Of course, they should, and they should be protected in that. But when religion crosses the line and becomes something that is dictated by local government, regardless of what religion it is, it's an unconstitutional practice.
Yeah, and everybody remember, I mean, the foundations of this country were based on, you know, the desire for spiritual freedom to not be told by the crown how we should or should not worship. Now, we couldn't violate the rights of others to worship equally in that way as well, so it's a sticky line, but certainly establishing Sharia law in this country or even in Canada would seem to violate some fundamental principles.
That's right.
Cheryl, I appreciate that article and that insight as well, and are you working on anything this coming week?
I'm actually going to take a look at what just wrapped in D.C. They had this big 2 or 3 day conference, Smart Cities Week, and it's basically about how government can plan better cities. And, of course, that means regulation and control.
Government planning better cities. I think that if the government plans your city, you might not get garbage collection. We'll have to see about that. Cheryl, report on that next week when we're together, among any other things happening in the news. And Jonathan and I will keep on keeping on here this hour with Norm Singleton from the Campaign for Liberty, updating on the passing of Reed Larson, a guy that was all about the right to work, after this. Thanks, Cheryl.
Who'd you say that masked man was?
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
Robert Scott Bell.
Here I come to save the day!
Did you know that I have not been to the doctor to treat an illness in over a decade? Do you want to know the secret to unlocking your immune system to help your body fight off disease naturally? Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, and after writing several books and spending thousands of hours researching natural alternatives, I'd like to share with you my secret to optimal health. It's my immune system. It's what keeps me healthy while naturally preventing sicknesses. So, how do I keep myself and family from getting sick? It's from the premium supplements I get from Betterway Health, like barley and flax oil, green tea extract, and Transfer Point's Beta 1 3D Glucan. Betterway Health only carries the highest quality supplements on the market. They're the nation's number one retailer of Transfer Point Beta Glucan, which is an immune system supplement that outperforms top competitors 16 to 1. I've teamed up with Betterway Health to save big on these all-natural supplements. All you need to do is go to betterwayhealth.com/radio to get your exclusive Ty Bollinger discount today. Again, that's betterwayhealth.com/radio.
The United States of Empire, the passing of the mantle from the United Kingdom to the United States, is a book that claims that the United States is the empire of the world. Our first president, George Washington, had warned us about being entangled in foreign wars. But by the 1900s, that seemed like an antiquated idea. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left the United Kingdom broke and broken. In both wars, it needed its former colony and protege, the U.S., to save the empire. We did so. Recoiled from responsibilities after the First World War, accepted them after the Second. The Cold War solidified our position. Did the American people ever vote on the question? For whom do we fight? The First World War is the beginning of the American Empire. The United States of Empire by James Dunn, available at Amazon Books.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using a computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
Back to the music in a minute, but first I've got a special free giveaway. I've got 100 free trials of the Belly Flattening Breakthrough Newbiotics here, and I've been authorized to give them away to the station's first 100 callers right now. So if you want to see what you'd look like with a flatter belly, call now. Don't even wait till I stop talking. Only one free trial per caller, though. Don't be greedy. Okay, here's the number. 1-800-983-5628. I'm guessing it works pretty fast because it says here that if your belly flattening results are too dramatic, you're supposed to reduce use to every other day. And it looks like it's made from natural ingredients, too. Scientifically formulated to cleanse pounds of toxic sludge from your body. Okay, this is it. If you want a flatter belly, be one of the first 100 callers right now to claim one of these free trials. 1-800-983-5628. If lines are busy, try again. 1-800-983-5628. Call now for details. 1-800-983-5628.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Here with the FDA Dragon Slayer, Jonathan E. Moore, as well joined right now by our good friend from the Campaign for Liberty, Norm Singleton, to keep us updated on what's going on around the world and in Congress. What are those critters up to now? Norm, welcome back.
Thank you, Robert, and it's good to be back with both of you. I think this is the first time all three of us have been together in about a month, right?
I know. It's been like Jonathan and Robert. Are they really the same person? They're not showing up on the same night.
Well, we're all going through withdrawal symptoms. Perhaps we need some Kratom.
Oh, yeah, that is Kratom. A big story. Thank you. Yeah, I think they call it Kratom, but maybe some people call it differently. But this is a substance out of Asia that's sold as a dietary supplement, not a drug, that's been used by a lot of people that I know to help relieve pain without resorting to opioids, to get people off of opioids. And this week we heard that the DEA is going to unilaterally schedule it as a Schedule 1 substance with no benefit, only detriment. Jonathan, how does the DEA do this?
Well, DEA functions much as a dictatorship would, in that they can make these determinations and enforce them, and really there's very little the public can do about it. It's an unfortunate development. I think that the DEA has for many years been out of control. Recognize the extreme hypocrisy here. On the one hand, you have the DEA following the Obama administration's directive not to take much action against those states that have legalized marijuana. So you have people being encouraged to use marijuana, but on the other hand, here you have a natural substance that is actually helpful in getting people to wean themselves from addiction, and the DEA is going to make it a Schedule I drug. It defies credulity. I mean, it makes you wonder, does anyone really have common sense inside the federal government? Of course, right. That's sort of a self-fulfilled answer there. Of course they don't. But anyway.
No. It seems like this is another event for the 10th Amendment, right? Because that's how the cannabis for medical use in most states, some of the states went recreational, but have pushed back on that Schedule 1 because cannabis is still Schedule 1, yet states are you know, made it legal. And I support the 10th Amendment in this case because these are arbitrary statements about a plant. And if they're going to take this, I mean, I'm going to interview a guy who has a little business with his wife in town. They might have to shut down because of this.
Yeah, it's heavy-handed federal government action attempting to alter the public will without really any sound justification. If anything, this is a matter that, as you point out, is appropriately dealt with at the state level, and it is not something for which there should be one uniform national regulation that applies in every instance, regardless of what the intended use of the substance is.
Yeah.
But that's what's going to happen if it becomes a Schedule I, like it looks like it is.
Go ahead, Norm.
What's really interesting to me about the DEA certification is they claim that because as used, it may have a mild stimulative effect as used as intended or recommended, but the DEA is claiming that it is being abused. People are using too much to get a high off of it, and that's why they're using it. But at the same time, the so-called opioid crisis is the latest war on drug hysteria, and that is being used to justify new rounds of federal spending, new crackdowns on the practice of medicine, and some really harsh treatment of pain doctors and pain patients. Doctors have simply prescribed enough medicine to help their patients with suffering from severe pain lead a normal life, can easily now find themselves labeled as drug dealers by the federal government. Yet, this natural, non-addictive substance is being outlawed that has been used by people as an alternative and as a way of weaning themselves from opioid abuse. It's being used by individuals banned by the DEA because people are using it as a drug. But when you weigh the equities, even if it's true that some people are using it to get high, does that really outweigh the fact that it's an efficient pain remedy and that it's a good alternative to the much more dangerous opioid? Or
right.
Is it really just DEA and Congress are just looking for any excuse to increase their power? And maybe they're afraid of a natural remedy competing with pharmaceuticals.
I think you nailed it on that one, Norm. And of course, if their litmus test is abuse, why don't we remove coffee as a Schedule One? I'm sure that you know, the agitation associated with it, occasional the palpitations that happen. I mean, this is where, you know, where does it end, Jonathan? This, you've been dealing with this bureaucracy for so long. I don't know how you do it.
It never ends because there always has to be the next big thing, the next public campaign to justify expansion of the power of the agency. It is the case that government, the bureaucracy, grows itself and creates new missions for itself so as to expand its reason for existence, increase the amount of money that's appropriated to it, increase the jurisdiction that it has. and the reason for its existence. So it's a natural dynamic for bureaucracy to grow. I haven't known a bureaucracy that has shrunk without severe action on the part of the public through legislation. Those have been precious few in number, certainly outnumbered substantially by the creation of new agencies and expansion of them. So every year, it seems, there's more area of regulation. The Code of Federal Regulations grows by leaps and bounds every single year, filled with new regulations. Every agency seems to think that it's its duty to promulgate regulations and not content with the jurisdiction it already has. So this is a disaster. I mean, we talk about the bureaucratic oligarchy. I did in my book, The Rise of Tyranny. That's what rules this country. We fool ourselves in thinking that the government is actually controlled by the elected officials. It is indeed the case that the vast majority of law produced by the federal government comes from unelected officials who run the bureaucracy, and there's very little recourse for a person who is accused of violating regulations or prosecuted for them. Mm-hmm. So it's quite the case that we are controlled by a bureaucratic oligarchy, not a limited federal republic as was intended in the Constitution.
Well, and a waste of resources is an understatement as well. Norm, the Congress going home, I don't know if they're going this week, the continuing resolution, $1.1 billion for Zika, a scam if there ever was one. I mean, the public is not clamoring to be sprayed from above with pesticides, and yet that's what the government's solution is for something that's not even causing what they say it's caused by. 12,000 women in South America, I've got the latest stat, diagnosed that have come into contact with Zika. They all were pregnant. They all had babies. All 12,000 of them, zero cases of microcephaly.
Well, it's a panic, and there's always scientific ignorance around the panic. And the first knee-jerk response, even among conservative Republicans, is, what can the government do? So-called conservative Republicans. Very few knee-jerk response is, should the government do anything? Do we have the constitutional authority to do so? And most importantly, is our action going to hurt, or is our action actually going to help, or will there be unintended consequences, or even foreseeable consequences that will make things worse? And back to what Jonathan was, and you were talking about before, for a long, the bureaucracy has almost become a fourth branch of government that serves its own agenda, independent of the White House and the Congress. And one of the interesting things that I saw in Congress, there's a term that's kind of come in vogue among some libertarian circles called the deep state, which means the government behind the government. And this is the special interests of the staffers and the lobbyists who work to manipulate politicians and keep the machines of government running smoothly no matter who controls it. And this is oftentimes applied to foreign policy, but it certainly does apply here. And as I think Jonathan might remember, and you might remember, Robert, during the Reagan years, there were at least in one case, the EPA, permanent members of so-called civil service openly working against Reagan's EPA administrator's goals and agenda. And I believe you have that in other administrations. That is something that if we ever were to have a real libertarian president, the first thing they would have to do is, when they got to trying to reform the administrative state, is make sure, find a way to get around the attempted to undermine, attempts to reduce the administration's power, or even introduce sensible things like cost-benefit analysis, which don't necessarily solve all the problems, but they do at least acknowledge that regulations are not an unparalleled good. As with the corporation regulation, let's assume that the DEA is right, that there are people suffering because they misuse the product, but weigh that benefit of their actions make them weigh it against the cost of all the people benefiting from the regulation or from the product, all the jobs that the product will lose, and those people who are using it as a safe alternative to opioids. But things like that, agencies would fight. The permanent bureaucracy is something that really needs to be addressed. And as Jonathan and I have worked on, and as others like Senator Rand Paul have worked on, Congress can rein in the administrative state. All it needs to do is pass brave-like legislation requiring congressional approval of major regulations. In this case, all Congress definitely should be acting on it. It should have put something in the continuing resolution, at the very least delaying, if not overturning, this regulation by saying they can't spend funds to enforce it. And the fact that they don't is painful. The fact that even with all the progress that we've made on the drug war, that I bet there's going to be a lot of conservative Republicans and some very paternalistic liberal Democrats saying that you can't allow this because it's dangerous to let people make their choices.
Stand by, Norm. We got to take a break here. We're going to be back with the Sacred Fire of Liberty after this brief break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In all my years of radio, I've never seen anything like this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
The United States of Empire, the passing of the mantle from the United Kingdom to the United States, is a book that claims that the United States is the empire of the world. Our first president, George Washington, had warned us about being entangled in foreign wars. But by the 1900s, that seemed like an antiquated idea. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left the United Kingdom broke and broken. In both wars, it needed its former colony and protege, the U.S., to save the empire. We did so, recoiled from responsibilities after the First World War, accepted them after the Second. The Cold War solidified our position. Did the American people ever vote on the question? For whom do we fight? The First World War is the beginning of the American Empire. The United States of Empire by James Dunn, available at Amazon Books.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the highest quality body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, why would you go anywhere else? KD offers rifle thread-rated armor up to level 4 and now introducing trauma pads. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free water filter for a limited time with any body armor package. Go to KDArmor.com. That's CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Rockin' the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, Jonathan Ebert here. We got Norm Singleton, Campaign for Liberty as well. Emord.com, EMORD.com. Of course, Campaign for Liberty, all linked up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. Thanks to Captain Morgan. We do have more on the Kratom issue later in the show. I've got an interview with a local business owner with his wife that could be put out of business thanks to DEA dictates and mandates and restrictions. Violations of what we would believe, of constitutional freedoms guaranteed. But hey, we got that. We also got to mourn the loss of Reed Larson, who, Norm, you worked with at some time in your early career. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I got my, like a lot of people, actually in the conservative, libertarian, and liberty movement, one of my first jobs in political activism was with the National Right to Work Committee, which Reed Larson started working with in 1954 in Kansas in the drive to pass the Kansas Right to Work Law. And he made his career. He made Right to Work his career, and he built the organization into a real powerhouse. And the Americans who, if you live in a right-to-work state, and if you have to pay union dues as a condition of your job, or if you're just and if you live in a state where the economic climate, low taxes, low regulations is good, you do owe a debt of gratitude to Reed Larson, who began the uphill climb to make the majority of the country right to work, to and to block draft at the federal level and try to roll back some of their power at the federal level back in the 50s, when it seems odd to think about this today, although the three of us probably remember this back when manufacturing unions, Jimmy Hoffa and other union leaders actually had the power if they wanted to bring a large part of commerce to a standstill, with strikes and their power led to a lot of corruption, really did play a role in the economic stagnation of the 70s. And it's in large part to Reed Larson and the people that he worked with, the people that he trained and brought up through the Right to Work Committee, that power has been reduced. And it's also a good part of his legacy that
he hired young people like I was, trained us, gave us a start, and then very happily watched us move on to bigger and better things. Right to Work served and continues to serve as kind of a field team for the Liberty Movement, and that's something that I think we all owe him a gratitude to.
Jonathan, it's kind of strange to conceive that there was a point in time where there wasn't a right to work. What kind of American ideal is that?
Well, the notion that you should have freedom of choice as to whether or not you are or are not affiliated with a union has ultimately gained constitutional recognition. And in no small measure, Reed Larson has been the force behind that. He is a massive counterweight, and he proved his merit over and over again in all these state contests and in the federal contests. So hats off to Reed Larson. Rest in peace. And, you know, he served this nation very well, and he defended freedom of choice. The basic issue, he defended freedom of choice over coercion and forced association. And those victories are precious ones that advance liberty, and everyone should salute him for that.
Yep. And finally, we don't have time to go into it, but Norm, I know you watched this as well, the override of Obama's veto, and I think Rand Paul worked heavily on this, that allows private citizens to sue the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for their part in 9/11. What an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, this is one of the good results of the 22 pages being released. I understand that Obama's concern about setting a bad precedent for how it may be used in soldiers in other countries, but I think they would try to use that anyway. And
all right, Norm, I apologize. We're once again out of time here on the Sacred Fire of Liberty Hour. Norm, we appreciate you and the Campaign for Liberty. Jonathan E. Mord, my man, thank you for all that you do standing up for liberty.
You bet, Robert.
The power to heal is still yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.